The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. It's Brinkley.
That's all right.
Danny Miles and Tina. Bernadette is in town. My dear friend Tina, who is one of the best trainers ever, and she is amazing. She's a dear friend, and we're going to be talking. What are we talking about today? With you in particular, lifting weights, you don't have to.
We're talking about being a lightweight at the gym.
Being a lightweight at the gym, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, but it's a positive thing. That sounds kind of almost negative, like being a lightweight.
But yeah,
we're gonna get into that. It's a spoiler.
Well, yeah, I haven't been working out like I was since you left town a couple of months ago. But you know, it all works
out. It's all your fault, Bert.
It's all my fault.
I was going to say, it's all your fault.
I can't even
that,
tell you.
See, it's all your fault.
I can't tell you how many of my clients are telling me the same thing.
Oh, really?
You move and they get...
You left me. Left me. I'm not getting the same workouts.
Well, I'm pretty motivated, but I have to say having you as a trainer really did make, like, you know...
It makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
That's why people hire a trainer.
Right.
If it's affordable for them, it pushes them harder,
right?
You know, and if people, I mean, I have clients that just won't do it on their own unless I'm there standing there, you know,
I
teaching
will,
them and helping them.
But, you know, like but I'm lame about it, you know? I mean, at least I'm still working out. I worked out this morning. I worked out yesterday. I lifted a few light weights. That's what made me think of it. Mm-hmm. Actually, 10 pounds in each hand, those ones where you tip over like the little, you know, like this.
The one-legged, like the bird that dips its beak into the water.
Oh.
The tipping bird.
Yeah. And so they, but they really do. And
you just demonstrated that.
I just demonstrated
for
it.
Lexi and I and Danny.
Yeah. I see people doing that.
You're like, what'd she just get? Where'd she go? Where'd she go?
Well, I see people doing that on those what are they? The half moon things that you stand on.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bosu.
Well,
I see people doing that. I'm like, oh my God.
That's a whole different ballgame right
doing
there.
It
that's
one
a great
legged?
Exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Daniel would say that's probably not. Good.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, typically it's done with no extra weight.
Right. Tell the listener what we're talking about. We're talking about the Bosu ball.
So
right?
The Bosu ball is that, you know, you've got the fit balls that's got air in it. Well, it's kind of like chopping a fit ball in half and putting a board on it. So it's like it's like a half of a fit ball, but so you can flip the board. You can flip it where the board's on the floor, or you can flip it where the fit ball's on the top, the half fit ball. And so this is standing on. Well, you could do it either way, but typically it's standing on the ball part. And doing that one leg, you know, exercise with
because it takes a
usually
lot of
no weight because it's so hard just to balance.
Well,
it's
it
all
is.
That
it's stability. It's very hard to stabilize yourself, even on just.
Even on
I was barefoot, and I know you don't like that, but barefoot. But also
that's for that exercise. Actually, I will say that that's a good way to do it.
Yeah,
is barefoot that specific? And other, that's one of the exercises I think qualifies for going barefoot. So,
but but you got to watch yourself because I can't imagine being up on top of one of those balls. And maybe it's just because I'm not strong enough again yet. But
well, you have to master it on the floor,
right?
Before you can get on the ball. And what I have I've had you do is hold on to something with one hand just until you get used to the balance, because you are using your a lot of people when they do it, if they're not good at activating the hamstring. In the back of the leg and the glutes and stable and don't have that stability yet, they feel it in their foot. You know, their foot starts aching. Their arches feel it because you're rocking back and forth on your foot. So
I was walking down the hall this morning and I was carrying a lot of weight, but my right foot, which is my right leg, is the one I have all the trouble with where I ripped tore the hamstring repeatedly, and that's where I broke my foot in January. And I had a lot of pain in my foot today, and I was thinking, why is my foot hurt?
It was probably from doing those last night, and you were doing it barefoot. So it
forces
those muscles to have to really, really activate. So what you have to do is focus on, okay, what am I supposed to be focusing on here? Not my foot, my hamstring, the back, the muscles in the back of your leg. If you don't know what your hamstrings are, I know you do, but for the listeners, And then in glutes, but it's really predominantly hamstrings, but it's all about balance because your body's going to tend to want to rock side to side and it's going to want to go forward and backwards. So that's why it's such a good balance. And you don't have to do it with any weights, really. I mean, the weights actually, if you hold one in each hand, it helps you balance a little better as long as it's not too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but typically you see people do it with no weight and just as, it's a functional exercise.
Well, just being around you makes me want to exercise more. Just talking about it. Well, you know, I've got the recent copy of Women's Health, and, you know, it's got all kinds of stuff on here. You know, sexy abs, no crunches, no planks, just 15 minutes. What do you say to that, Tina?
Well, that's not enough information for me to know. What's it saying? I don't know. You know, I don't promote crunches.
Right. I know. That's why I'm asking you. I thought of you when I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, Tina would cringe if she saw that. But to sexy abs in 15 minutes, I don't think so. Unless you're doing it every single day and you're doing several different types of exercises that concentrate on the abdomen.
The way
right?
you get sexy abs is to get your body fat down. And it takes a lot more than doing just ab exercises is not going to necessarily change your abs. It's if you have body fat covering the muscles, you're not going to see your abs anyway. So it's the whole program. It's the diet. It's the workouts. Are you doing some high intensity workouts? Are you doing some weight training? You know, it's not just doing people still this day, I think if they can do like 2,000 crunches a day, they're going to have washboard abs. And it, you know, maybe a guy that's already lean.
Right.
But, you know, for anybody that thinks, oh, I'm going to get my abs looking better. So they spend all this time on their abs and they're not really what you need to be doing is what I do with you. The full body, high intensity exercises where you're utilizing your large muscle groups in your lower body, your legs and glutes, and then bringing in some upper body and getting your heart rate up and working hard.
I have to say, I guess I'm still hanging on a little bit because I had somebody tell me yesterday, wow, look at your legs.
You've always had such great legs.
I do have good legs.
You do have good legs.
Even chubby, I have good legs.
You've got good muscle in your legs. You always have. And so that's an advantage for you, which is.
But I carry a lot of weight with me. Not like I don't lift a lot of heavy weight, but I carry a lot of weight with me.
Yeah, because you come in here with about six bags strapped to your shoulders and books.
But even something like that does help when you're. And I do a lot of housework. I do a lot of stuff around the house.
Any activity is good activity.
Yeah.
You know, you still want to try to get the workouts in, but any activity, I believe, is good activity. But you're burning calories.
Yeah, but you can't out-exercise a bad diet, and that's kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You really can't. And, you know, oh my gosh, I read so much about carbohydrates and just all the poor quality ingredients that are in so many foods that so many of us eat. And I was at the Texas State Fair over the weekend, and oh my gosh, the food there,
it just grosses me out. I don't get it. I mean, I know people go just for the food.
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, it's America. But
yeah.
There's no thank you. I don't eat that stuff ever.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't crave it.
Well, you look fabulous. And
I'll
healthy.
Have some wine, but I'm not going to sit there and eat a fried cheesecake or whatever it is they fry. They fry like everything now.
Well, we had Dr. Jill Furman on the show yesterday. He was amazing. I got a lot of feedback from it. And, you know, people saying that I just can't. It just really hit home for a lot of people that heard that broadcast of how important it is to eat well. And that includes not having French fries once a week. How about not having French fries at all?
Well, you know, the top two worst foods you can eat.
Our French fries.
Outside of the state fair stuff that they create all this crazy stuff. But French fries and something with a lot of carbs and fat. That's all it is. Breakfast food.
A burrito. I don't
know. Donuts.
Oh, donuts. Yeah, he talks about donuts in his book.
Donuts and French fries. There's been, you know, and there's other stuff that's bad too. But the key thing is putting white flour with saturated fats, that combination. You know, and potatoes they're fried and they're basically like eating white flour because it's digested and used in your body just like a flour product.
Donuts are deadly.
They really are deadly. And I'm glad I don't like donuts.
Yeah.
I used to when I was a kid. My kids still want them, and I let them have them every once in a while. But
yeah, I don't remember the last time I had a donut.
I tried and never. I just don't eat donuts. I haven't in many years. I've never been a big, maybe when I was a kid, like you said, I like the ones that were stuffed with the cream in the middle with the chocolate frosting on top.
Yeah, the eclair.
Like the eclair. But you can make homemade eclairs, and they're not that hard, believe it or not. They're really not. I used to make them all the time.
I'm sure you could figure out how to make them with almond flour or something, do you think?
You know,
I mean,
That's never, a great, that would be a great kitchen experiment.
Yeah. I mean, you're the chef, so I'll let you do it because I'm not.
I brought in some Bernie bars today. I made some, they're from the day before yesterday, and I heated them up in the oven this morning. I put them in the refrigerator to hold them, but I made them out of the.
You give them out as Halloween treats?
Yeah. His kids would like throw them right back at you. What is this?
No, you know what? I made them when all the college girls were in town, and they loved them. They absolutely loved them. I wanted to give them a healthy breakfast, but they have a tiny bit of sugar sprinkled on top, real sugar and salt, and the inside is honey and maple syrup, stevia and xylitol to sweeten them. But I don't make them really sweet, and then I put sea salt on top too. Mm-hmm. Fresh blueberries, eggs, pasture raised eggs. I might add, and organic oatmeal, and that's about it.
I've had your Bernie bars before, but yeah. I don't think they had as much stuff on them as you just
Yeah, I'm making them a little fancier now.
For the college girls or for or you?
Just for fun. Just to have fun in the kitchen.
Tastes good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got a great show coming up, everyone. We've got Dr. Michael Lewis. He's going to be talking about the book When Brains Collide. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. And of Jonathan Reckford, Habitat Hammers are back. The Habitat for Humanity, the CEO, Jonathan Reckford, is going to be talking all about that, getting us updated. And, of course, Tina Burnett, one of the top trainers in the world, is here in studio with us today. And we're going to be talking about being a lightweight and how that's good for you. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Shed a thousand tears and look at the mess I'm in. A broken nose and a broken heart, an empty bottle of gin.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com or at the door. Mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. And don't forget, mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Tina Burnett in studio with me, and I have Jonathan Reckford on the line. Jonathan has been CEO of Habitat for Humanity International since 2005. Habitat for Humanity focuses on being a catalyst to help families address holistic housing issues and to help revitalize communities around the world. They've been instrumental in rebuilding New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and now will focus their efforts on rebuilding building after Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria in Houston. Since 1976, Habitat has helped more than 5 million people construct, rehabilitate, and preserve homes in more than 70 countries. Such an honor to have you on the show with us today, Jonathan. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I love what we're talking about today. So Habitat Hammers Back to rebuild Houston. So what does the launch of Habitat Hammers Back mean for the hurricane victims of Texas, Florida, and the Caribbean?
Well, we view today as really the marking point where we finished, at least in this one neighborhood, the cleanup phase, and we're into the rebuilding phase. And we wanted to use that to talk about our long-term plans for rebuilding. And we've announced today the goal is to help over 2,000 families across Texas rebuild from Harvey, to help more than 2,000 families all across Florida rebuild from Hurricane Irma, and to help more than 2,000 families across Puerto Rico build back after Maria. So it is it's a big effort, but this is such a widespread scale of devastation, we wanted to respond in a big way.
Yeah, I'm reading this. It says, according to estimates, the damage caused by Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria may top $200 billion. That's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. What parts have the most concentration of damage in the Houston area?
So, you know, Texas was hit hard, and Houston, probably in terms of housing damage, was the hardest hit because of so much flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, very often low-income families get hit the hardest when these disasters
right.
happen. So we have thousands and thousands of low-income families across Houston whose houses were flooded. And once a house floods, that means it's got to really be gutted out and cleaned up and sanitized before the rebuilding process can start. And then we're excited about trying to come alongside these families and help them rebuild their lives.
It's so important. And because, you know, you fix a family's life, you fix the children, you eliminate that continuing on when they have children, because poverty just begets more poverty. This is a very important initiative. So who are the various sponsors of this initiative?
So we had four partners who came out right at the beginning and gave catalytic gifts to start this whole Habitat Hammers Back response. I'm actually here with our friend from General Motors, Lori Wingerder, who can talk a little bit about why they got involved and how they're helping.
Yeah, how did they get involved, and how are they helping?
Good morning. Yeah, General Motors, we got involved with the project as soon as the hurricane hit, where you feel it's really important to be a part of the rebuilding effort, because obviously having a house is a part of everybody's importance in their lives. And so we donated $1 million on September 1st.
Well, thank you.
As soon as we hit.
Pardon me? I just said thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's very generous.
Well, it's just not the money, though. It's also our employees here down here putting in the sweat equity and helping the various partners. And for example, our OnStar team fielded 144,000 emergency calls during the disaster.
Wow, that's incredible. And you know, that's what we've talked about. This one of the good things that comes out of, you know, disasters like this is the wonderful, you know, show of love and generosity, and just it's very philanthropic, the things that happen after a disaster that are very heartwarming, I might add. And General Motors, it's just a great thing that you guys pitched in. What are some of the other companies that are sponsors of this initiative?
So we're here today with three other groups that came out right at the beginning to help launch this response. So Dow Chemical, a longtime partner of Habitat for Humanity, Thrivent Financial, and also members of the America's Wind Energy Association, where Texas is the biggest mm-hmm. state for wind energy, and they've come out to support as well.
Nice. Really nice. So let me ask you this. What can myself and all of our listeners do? What can we do in our small world to help this huge project of getting Houston and the other areas rebuilt?
Well, it's truly amazing to see what happens when a large group of folks come together to make a difference. And the reality is every single person can help. We do need money. We've raised about $15 million so far. We estimate it'll take about $100 million to do all the rehabs and repairs that we've talked about across Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico. So we have a long way to go. And then we'll need lots of volunteers with all kinds of skills to help ramp up this level of response. So we would love your listeners to go to habitat.org and learn more about the total response and how they can get involved.
It's got to feel so good to like build a home for somebody and watch them walk into it for the first time. It's something I've always wanted to do. It really is. Maybe in a few years when things calm down, I'll be able to give you a year of my time or maybe more. But it is such a beautiful thing that you guys are doing. So let me ask you this: What Habitat Hurt for Humanity? What have they accomplished so far in the recovery effort and their plan for rebuilding?
So sadly, Habitat for Humanity has a long history of working after these disasters, and we did a huge response after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. We've been involved with Sandy, with Haiti, with all of the big disasters. So far, we've been in the phase of cleanup and really mucking and gutting, damage assessments, working with our local chapters all across Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico to understand the needs. And this is really the pivot now into the rebuilding phase. And sadly, about 80% of the upfront resources all go into emergency response, which is desperately needed, but that doesn't leave enough resources for the long rebuilding effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical reality is, with the scale of this disaster, it'll be years and years of rebuilding, and we want to build as much as we can, as fast as we can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because people's lives are in the balance. How did Habitat for Humanity start initially? What's the history? I've always wondered.
Yeah, so Habitat for Humanity was born, actually, really one of my great heroes, who's not very well known, but started a pastor named Clarence Jordan, started an interracial farm in southwest Georgia back in the 1940s.
Really?
With this idea of bringing people together. And he was a scholar as well as a farmer, and the farm never really worked, but he had a huge influence on many social justice leaders, including Martin Luther King Jr. And in the 60s, he brought a group together to think about what's next. The farm wasn't really working the way they had hoped. And they came up with this idea of a fund for humanity. And he had a quote I love. Clarence said, what the poor need is not charity, but capital. Not caseworkers, but co-workers.
Right.
And what the rich need is a wise, honorable, and just way of divesting themselves of their overabundance.
Mm.
And so in the context initially of poor sharecropping farmers, the idea was the community would come alongside, help turn these terribly inadequate shacks into a proper, simple home, and then they give them this no-profit, affordable mortgage, and the families would pay that back, and that would become the fund for humanity, and their payments would recycle, helping the next family have their chance for an affordable home. And a social entrepreneur named Millard Fuller had come to this farm to rebuild his marriage, and he grabbed this idea and took it to Africa to test it out for 3 years in Zaire, and then he brought back, and in 1976, that officially became, the Fund for Humanity became Habitat for Humanity, and out of those first few houses in Africa and Georgia, we've actually now been able to help over 10 million people in over 70 countries have new or improved
wow.
homes, so it's the power of what a big vision and a whole lot of volunteers and passionate mm-hmm. people around the world can do.
I love it. What a great story. Just, you know, powerful and just compassionate men and women getting together to change the world. It is possible. You know, you made me, while you were speaking, made me think when I was driving, I wasn't driving. I was riding in the car with my dad. I was just a little girl, and he used to listen to Paul Harvey on the radio when I was little. And Paul Harvey told a story about a beach in California, and I've told this story on the radio before. Basically, it's this. These people would go to this beach and they fed the seagulls and fed them and fed them. But then the beach got shut down and the people quit coming and the seagulls died because they didn't know how to feed themselves. And so I love what Habitat for Humanity is doing to empower people to take back control of their lives. Thank you so much for all the work that you do.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks so much for having us today.
Jonathan, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and give us an update sometime.
Love to do that. Thank
All right.
you.
Okay, thank you so much, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Tina Burnett, and I have Dr. Michael Lewis on the line. Dr. Lewis is an expert on nutritional and holistic interventions for brain health, particularly the use of omega-3 fatty acids for the prevention, management, and rehabilitation of concussions and traumatic brain injury. He founded the Brain Health Education and Research Institute in late 2011 upon retiring as a colonel after a distinguished 31-year career in the U.S. Army. I'm going to tell you a little tidbit here in just a second, Dr. Lewis, personally about my... Anyway, I'll just tell you right now. I used to be a secretary to two colonels in the U.S. Army in my early 20s. It was a fun job. But I love that you're doing this pioneering work in the military and since has helped thousands of people around the world and is regularly featured in the media, including CNN's Sanjay Gupta's MD show and numerous radio shows and podcasts. Dr. Lewis is board certified and a fellow of the American College of Preventive Medicine and Nutrition. Such an honor to have you on the show, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. Michael Lewis, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Bernadette. Sounds like you're having a good day, too.
Well, I kind of forgot about that. It's not like it comes up every day, but yes, I used to be a secretary to a colonel in the U.S. Army in Fort Drum, New York. I'm sure you know where that is, right?
Up in cold country.
Yes, up in cold country. Today we're talking about the book that you wrote, When Brains Collide, and so we're talking about concussions. So what is a concussion, and what causes it?
Well, in the most simple terms, you know, when you slip on the ice, speaking of Fort Drum, or collide on a soccer field or whatever the mechanism might be, your skull comes to a quick stop, you know, because you hit the ground or hit some other object, but your brain keeps moving. And so inside, that causes the brain to hit up against the inside of the skull and causes essentially a bruising or a contusion. But most people think that's where it stops. But that's actually just the beginning. Mm-hmm. What that does is it sets off all these inflammatory cascades that continue to burn and churn for minutes, hours, weeks, months, I would say even years or decades if you don't correct the underlying foundation, and I do that through nutrition.
Well, nutrition, it's everything. It really is. Nutrition can reduce brain inflammation, can it not?
Absolutely. And in particular, and a lot of my book, When Brains Collide, discusses the use of omega-3s, as you mentioned, that you typically can get from fish oil. But you also have to talk about omega-6s, the very pro-inflammatory omega-6s that are so ubiquitous in our diet. And mm-hmm. we're just out of balance. And so the quickest way to get things back into balance isn't by eating a little bit of fish or trying to cut back on your sixes, which is really, really difficult to do. But I can improve people's lives within a few days with supplementation, in addition to changing how you eat.
Yeah, well, we used to have a great company that was a sponsor of the show, Ocean Blue fish oil. Fred Sancilio, a wonderful doctor as well, talked about the benefits of omega-3 and essential fatty acids in the fish oil. They are very effective in treating concussions and more serious brain injuries as well, correct?
Well, that's been my experience. And so it does three basic things. And, so it can help control or decrease or basically control neuroinflammation. It's neuroprotectant. And so that means, keep the brain cells alive whenever possible. And then the third one that most people don't realize is that omega-3s have an ability to be neuroregenerative, help create more brain cells and more branches off of the neurons to make more connections in the brain.
Well, I read that you can basically pre-treat with cannabis to prevent damage protect against possible concussions associated with certain occupations. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I would. You can do the same thing and probably a little bit easier with fish oil, and that's one of the literally an entire chapter that I devote to that in the book, is the idea of it's better to have more omega-3s on board before an injury occurs than if an injury does occur, then at least you've got the omega-3s there to start the healing process right away. Well, interestingly enough, omega-3s work. We're now finding out that one of the ways the omega-3s work is through the cannabinoid system, just like CBD.
Right. Well, that's where I was going next. So you've recently begun to administer CBD oil as an additional nutritional tool to help alleviate the anxiety experienced by brain trauma victims. Tell us, for those that don't know, most of our listeners know because Charlotte's Web is one of our sponsors. And it's funny because we talked about in the opening CNN's Sanjay Gupta. He was one of the first doctors to really, put CBD oil on the map, telling Charlotte Fiji's story, which is how Charlotte's Web was started. But this is a very important subject for America, and I'm so glad that you're helping me address it today.
Well, it is an important subject. It's not without its controversy, as you know. Mm-hmm. And but it's just, well, actually, here's something really interesting. Just in the last week or so, the World Anti-Doping Agency, so they control all the major, they do the drug testing basically for all the major professional sports around the world,
really?
FIFA, NFL, and everything else. And they just came out and said that they will no longer consider CBD as a banned substance. And
awesome.
That's great.
And so as of January 1st. So
wow. That's
going to be a huge step in the right direction because it has so much potential.
That is huge. That's huge. And, this is just a little side note here. I happen to know just from research that I'm always, reading about stuff. There's been over 400 new startups just in the past few years of people selling CBD oil because it is such an amazing substance, if you will. I mean, 50,000 people a year, Dr. Lewis, die from epilepsy. And CBD oil also helps the symptoms of epilepsy as well, which is, the whole story about, Charlotte, Fiji, and a lot of these other children that have had to move out of Texas when it was illegal and move to Colorado just to save their lives.
It is. And, it's sometimes when you start to make or talk about claims that are just so broad and so spectacular, as one pediatric MD, PhD, pediatric surgeon in Boston once told me about some work he was doing. He goes, "My results are so unbelievable, nobody believes them." So,
right.
And really, CBD and even the higher doses of fish oil that I typically like to use to get my patients under control is phenomenal results. And I say people tell me, the feedback I get is the fish oil really helps a lot.
Yeah.
But CBD is life-changing.
It is.
I live in Colorado, and I can't tell you how many people I've run into. I live in Boulder that are getting into the CBD business. I mean, they're making almond butter and
it's like a gold rush. It works. I mean, it does. So, Dr. Lewis, I take a couple of drops in the morning and I can feel, and I do it on an empty stomach. I take it at the same time every day. Today, I actually forgot, but I can feel a difference in my body and my brain within an hour after taking it. And it makes you feel so good. It just makes you feel good.
Well, and it's not stimulating. It's not, you know, it's not like it's cousin THC. It's
right.
Not making you high, obviously. And you know all this, and
yes.
Your listeners probably do as well. But it's not stimulating you like caffeine either. So it's just providing this sense of calm, focused control. And one of the things that I've actually found more recently is I've had a number of patients or friends even that come to me and they want to talk about how much anxiety they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been, and I get them started on CBD and it just completely changes their life in a very, very positive way.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that information about the NFL, or not just the NFL, but all sports that are going to start allowing CBD oil as a remedy for a lot of potential injuries and anxiety. It's all over. It does so many great things, calming down the brain. We talked about the epilepsy. What else do you want people to know about the power of CBD oil?
Well, the biggest thing is, there's a couple things. The biggest thing is that it's interacting. It's nature's giving us a way to interact with our endocannabinoid system, our endogenous cannabinoids. So we used to call those, you know, when you got a runner's high or, you know, just a good feeling, we used to call them endorphins. But now we know that those are our endogenous cannabinoids. And so one of the things about CBD is if you aren't really out of balance, it's not going to do much for you, but it's not going to have any side effects either.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you need it, the more improvement you're going to notice. The other thing is, and you mentioned this, and particularly up in Colorado and a bit of the industry is kind of in the wild, wild west era. And so it's really important to find a company that you like and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm an advisor to CV Sciences, and they've come out about a year ago with a 15-milligram soft gel.
Mm-hmm.
So you know exactly what you're getting. You know, you're not, you know, not a little bit more, a little bit less that you get with some of the tinctures and stuff like
right.
that. But a soft gel. And I find it works within 15, 20 minutes.
Wow. Well, because a lot of people don't like the flavor of the oil. I know I don't mind it. I just, you pour, you stop. Or you drop, you stop. I don't take a lot of it.
It's about the size of a vitamin C capsule.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Actually, that leads to a question I have. Can you, just like anything else, have too much? Can you abuse it? Is it, you know, can you take too much?
You could, but you'd have to take a lot
right.
to overwhelm, and you would overwhelm the system. It wouldn't really, and then you just sleep it off.
Yeah,
really, it's not going to have. There's no real profound side effects.
Yeah.
that won't go away.
Yeah, it's all good stuff, Dr. Michael Lewis. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
you're
you coming on.
Welcome, Burnett. Okay.
All right, thank you so much, sir. All right. You know what? The name of the book is When Brains Collide. When Brains Collide. Great book. Get it on Amazon.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, guys. It's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo-poo-pee-doo.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Tina Burnett. I wanted to let you know that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can also go to Apple Podcasts, and you can go to our website, onelifradio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors. I'm so proud to have the sponsors that I do. Charlotte's Web, we were just talking about CBD oil. I didn't want to interrupt Dr. Lewis, but Charlotte's Web also sells a little like a vitamin D capsule of CBD oil, 15 milligrams as well. And anyway, you can go to Charlotte's Web or CWHemp.com to check out all of their products. Crazy Water, great company. Squatty Potty. Don't you love your Squatty Potty, Tina?
I don't have one yet.
What?
You were going to give it to me for Christmas, remember?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to send one to you. I'm going to send one to Colorado
one
tonight.
Yes.
You've got to be kidding me.
No,
oh my gosh.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, she stinks. No pun intended. But no, well, once you try it, you'll wonder why you waited this long, Tina.
Okay.
And you'll be telling
my
everyone
bad.
Because it's truly a game changer, no pun intended. And of course, our sponsors include the International Society of Sports Nutrition and Sun Warrior, and Paleo Magazine is now in that list of great companies and people trying to educate you and truly change the world and educate you about everything in the food industry and big pharma that is wrong and is making us sick. So thank you so much to our sponsors. Tina Burnett is currently one of the top female personal trainers in the world, I would say, even though this is your old bio. You've come a long way, baby.
Well, I'm not in DFW anymore.
Well, you're not in DFW anymore, but she's an amazing trainer. She's been my trainer for like 5 years. Of course, now she's moved away, so now, you know, I don't get to train as much. But I love this woman. She's amazing. She's kind. She's a great trainer. Today, we're talking about being a lightweight at the gym. So what do you want us to know about this particular subject?
Well, this article came out in the New York Times in July of 2016, and I found it interesting because I like lifting heavy. I mean, I'm not like a CrossFit crazy powerlifter type heavy stuff, but...
No judging.
I'm just saying I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about 6 rep deadlifts where you're...
I do like all these gyms that are popping up, though, where the doors are open and they're enduring the heat and the cold, you know.
Yeah, it's performance centers,
yeah.
Like where I'm
yes.
training. Where,
yeah.
You know, at Extreme Studio Performance. I'm out in North Dallas. But
right.
Anyway, so what they did was there's been studies done in the past since like 2010 by a guy named Dr. Stuart Phillips. He's a professor of kinesiology at McMaster University in Ontario, Canada, where they have studied a group doing lifting, traditional heavy lifting, and a group doing lighter weight stacks. And But they used people that hadn't been lifting before, which if you start any
like
kind
ever?
Of program, yeah, they used the people they used had never really lifted before. So anybody that does anything is going to get some change. So now they've done studies where they have people that have been lifting weights for at least a year. And basically what they did was they had all of them complete tests of strength, fitness, hormone levels, and muscular health. And then they put them into groups, heavy lifting regime, and then a lighter lifting high rep regime. So one thing that I look at is there's a lot of people, especially some women, you know, I think women are getting more into weights now, but they're a little bit intimidated by lifting heavy, you know, lifting weights. And so maybe they don't want to go to a gym. Maybe they can't afford it or whatever. Maybe they just want to buy some dumbbells at home. Well, basically what the studies found was that between the heavy lifting group and the high rep group, the results were unequivocal. All men gained muscle, strength, and size, and testosterone levels were elevated in both groups of men. Which,
nice.
Which I know, and maybe the listeners don't know, but one way to elevate your testosterone is to lift weights.
Right.
You know, running doesn't do it. It's got to mm-hmm. be the weight training. And women, too. It helps.
I agree. I love testosterone.
Make you leaner.
Yeah. No,
we all love testosterone.
Well, no, I'm even talking about for myself, because I'm whenever my testosterone levels are higher, I'm more lean. Because I'm lifting weight, and that's what I need to get back to.
That's why men tend to are able to kind of be leaner than women can gain weight, usually because they have the high testosterone levels.
Right.
And that's one of the key hormones, along with human growth hormone, mm-hmm. to help elevate your metabolism. When you add muscle and you do high intensity, you know, heavy lifting or weight training in general, it raises both of those. And that's real quick. That's why it's so important to get good sleep at night. Because mm-hmm. that's when those hormones are released while you sleep. That's recovery time.
Right.
So anyway, back on the subject. But the key thing with this is, it's like you were saying, you grabbed some 10-pound weights and you were doing some exercises.
Just to do something.
Right.
Yeah.
But the findings suggest that there's something about the cellular mechanisms jump-started in muscle tissue by exhaustion that enables you to gain muscle. So what I mean by that is, if you're going to hold 10-pound dumbbells and do, you know, a squat and raise them up or whatever, hold them down at your side, whatever, and do a bunch of squats, you have to take it to total exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only – all the group that was doing the lighter reps – the lighter weight and the high reps, they were probably, I'm guessing, going probably 20 or 30 repetitions in, mm-hmm. per set. But the goal was that they had to take it to – total failure. And I've talked about this. You have to take it to the muscle. If you don't take the muscle to exhaustion, you don't get the same gains, the results.
Right.
And which can kind of scare people away too.
I think some people find it daunting to lift heavy weights, but also, you know, when you and I train, you'll say, oh, you're getting stronger. You need to go from 15 to 20. You know, and I've never gone over 20 in just like, you know, the
repetitions.
In repetitions.
Yeah.
Not 20 repetitions, 20 pounds, really. Normally, I don't lift it in each hand, 20-pound dumbbell in each hand. And that's a good weight for me. It is.
And let's say that's all you have. I mean, because I don't know if you even have anything more than 20. But for anybody out there that has maybe just bought a few weights at home because they want to be able to work out at home, or they you know, don't want to have to go to a gym, whatever.
I've got my kettlebells, my Onnit kettlebells that are like 45 pounds.
Yeah.
That I do squat.
But what you do is that, say you're used to doing 15 reps. That's why when I train people, I don't say, okay, do 15 and stop. Because mm-hmm. if they get to 15 and they feel like they could do a few more and maintain their form.
Do it to failure.
Do a few more. And if you don't have anything heavier than 20, then just do more reps. Start doing, because you're going to get stronger and you either need to add weight or add more reps.
Right. Do you guys remember what Daniel Tagg was saying about the HGH growth hormone, that if you go beyond like 45 seconds, it's like a scale. So going to at least 30 seconds where you start to feel the burn or get exhaustion, mm-hmm. in HIIT training, we're talking about the high intensity training. But 45 seconds and then 1 minute, there was a study that was done that said that going beyond 45 seconds to a minute or even a little bit longer, like, gives an incredible boost to your HGH. I believe that's what it was. Do you remember that a couple of weeks ago we talked about
it? Is this with lifting weights
or with anything, like burst training, or what? Like even doing on a spin bike, getting up out of the saddle and doing it for a minute as fast as you can. I did it today. That's what I did. I got my 15 minutes in. That's all I can do right now. I'm just overwhelmed with just all kinds of responsibility. But I did HIIT training. Like every 2 minutes, I hit it really hard, mm-hmm. and went to exhaustion for a minute. Probably got like, I don't know, six of those in.
Yeah, that's what I did. The same thing today. I got on the spin bike, mm-hmm. same like you, and I do because I don't like taking spin classes, but I get on there and I get my music and I have my timer in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with longer, like I'll do minute, all out minute. Sometimes I'm climbing, right. Sometimes I'm sitting. And then I start throwing in like 30 to 40 second super hard, mm-hmm. where I'm dying after 30 or 40 right. seconds. And my legs literally, I can't even move them anymore.
Right.
And yeah, I just was on there for 30 minutes mm-hmm. with about a 3 to 4 minute kind of warm up session. Yeah. So yeah.
And you do have to warm up and you do have to cool down too. Mm-hmm. That's really important as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically it's just, you know, if you're out there and you don't really have a gym to work out in, or you want to try to get results, and for someone just starting that's never lifted before, just your body weight, you know, mm-hmm. I've talked about this many times, just doing a squat. Now, it is good if you could make sure you can go on YouTube. There's so many places you can find proper form and technique of just a squat or a lunge or a push-up or, you know, whatever you have just your body weight to do. You can, if you have stairs, you can step up and do step-ups on a stairs or do lunges or whatever. So start with that. And then as you get stronger, just go, you know, go to Academy Sports or wherever you have mm-hmm. equipment and just buy some light dumbbells and start there and work your way up. But you want to make sure that you, when you work out, that you do as many as you can until you feel like you can't do anymore.
Till you feel like you're going to die.
Without changing your form, though. That's key.
Well, and I want to give a shout out to Mike Sasha's new gym that you're working out at when you're in town. What is it again?
Extreme Studio Performance. And it's on McEwen at Midway, which is one block north of LBJ at Midway.
Yeah,
and
it's close right here to the studios.
33,000 square foot performance facility. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's what the industry is moving towards. Moving away from the traditional gym with mm-hmm. all the machines.
Yep.
But we got the tires and the ropes and turf and
nice
and, you know, medicine balls and it's kettlebells and everything. It's fabulous. Right.
I can't wait to go and see it now that it's completed. Everyone, you know what? I hope you enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing it. Thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.